Hey, James Hilliard back with you on this Tech Experience podcast from Connection, joined today by Rob McGilvery. He is the modern endpoint lead for the Americas for Microsoft. That means we're talking a little Windows 11 today. We'll talk about pro devices and your refresh or upgrade path. Let's get started. Rob, what I want to do is I want to tell you a little bit about my upgrade experience over the last many years. And this is just to set a little table. It also is not necessarily where we're hardcore focused here for IT professionals that are going to be in charge of rolling out hundreds of instances of Windows 11. But here's my deal. I went through enough upgrades, and many people have. 95, 7, 8 in there, I think, for a minute, 10, etc. Way back in my corporate career, there were some difficulties. It just did not go well. When I ventured out on my own, my upgrade has always been, I'm just waiting to buy a new machine. Here was my problem recently. My machine is only a year old. It's high end, top end. I know it can handle Windows 11. I just didn't want to do it. I finally looked at my schedule, had a half day clear, said, that's the day. I will refresh. So I started the sequence, expect a bunch of shutdowns and, you know, reboots and all this stuff. Went off, got some coffee, got a snack, come back. I look at my machine. Doesn't even look like anything had started. But then I started looking, it's a little bit different. I'm like, it's like done. And I started working. All my stuff was where it was. All the files were good. It refreshed in 30 minutes. I was shocked. And I bring up the little story because I think there are people out there in this audience that have gone through these upgrades in the past. And it's been a challenge. And so talk to me about the people you've been working with. And when you're talking about these upgrades and refreshes, has there been some PTSD? Has there been concern like, this is going to be a beast going to 11?
Yeah, I mean, there has been. You know, I think it relates back to probably that experience that a lot of these end users had and IT, you know, leaders had around migrating from Windows 7 to 10. That's what we hear a bulk of. You know, and hey, listen, it probably wasn't that great of experience. You know, there's a lot of app compatibility issues when, you know, customers move from 7 to 10. But when we think really at what the core, what Windows 11 is, it's really just the next version of Windows 10. I mean, if you get down to the core OS, it's the same kernel. If you actually go into your command prompt, hit WinVir, you can see it's actually just the next version of Windows 10. We decided to call it Windows 11. So it's really just Windows 10 with a UX update. And then we're bringing in, you know, new features around security, around AI and things to really help improve that end user experience. And so we do hear that from customers, right? This is a feature update. This is an in-place upgrade. It is familiar. You can use the tools you have today. Can I say that you're not going to experience any issues updating? Of course not. You know, we see similar issues with customers when they've moved from previous versions of Windows 10. Maybe it was from Windows 10 21H2 to 22H2. This isn't your traditional OS migration, you know, that customers have experienced historically with Microsoft when we decided to change the number at the end of Windows. So
let me ask you this, because I am looking back to Windows 7 era, and I'm thinking there have to be people that are listening to you and I now that were not in charge of the IT department during that last upgrade rollout session, and now they are, and they may have seen some issues and challenges, and so that might be where some of that hesitation has been. What can you say, or what do you say to those folks where this is their first time going through it? What is some of the kind of the mindset or ideas that you share with them to say, look, it's not going to be like what you might have experienced in the past?
Yeah, I think really, you know, when we talk with them about that, it is, you know, obviously there's a lot of FUD out in the market and history in the market. If you're in IT, I'm sure you've probably heard somebody say the Windows 7 to 10 migration was horrible, right? And so, you know, really it's just helping customers and these individuals in charge of this migration really understand, you know, what Windows 11 is and really understand the feature update, how it can be deployed, you know, with the tools that they're using today. They don't need to rewrite their whole servicing model and look at new tools to deploy the feature updates. And so it's really just kind of helping them understand really what it is when you take off that new UX, right? What is it underneath the layers? And when you start looking at the layers, you know, that's when we can really start, you know, removing some of those blockers. And to be fair, listen, I mean, I get it. I understand, you know, the number changed from 10 to 11. And so, you know, there is a bit of hesitancy around that. And so we want to make sure that, you know, everyone listening today understands really what Windows 11 is. And I think the best way to say that is look, it's just the next version of Windows 10. You know, the biggest thing that's different there, like historically, when you move from Windows 10, let's say you move from Windows 10 21H2 to Windows 10 22H2, the big thing when you move to Windows 11 is there is now base hardware requirements to run Windows 11. And that's because we knew that by raising those base hardware requirements, making things like TPM 2.0 a requirement, we were able to really raise that base threshold from a security perspective at the device layer. And that's really, you know, one of the biggest reasons why we, you know, made those base hardware requirements.
And we'll dive into a little bit more there. Let's do a quick reset, though, on what is it, right? So Windows 11, let's take the top three. And if there's a fourth, go ahead, sneak it in. But the top three, you know, why do I need to go from 10 to 11? Why can't I just stay on 10 and fine, I'll pay some end of support later on? And, you know, what's the big deal? Why do I have to do this?
Yeah. So first, it's familiar, right? I mean, it's you know, it is a feature update and an in-place upgrade to an eligible piece of hardware. So it is that familiar process and should really be integrated into the update cycle, you know, within an organization. So I would say that's number one, right? It's familiar. Now, as we continue to invest in Windows 11 and bring more features in, are those OS versions going to get different? Yes, of course. You know, they are going to see a larger gap between, you know, what's available on each version of the operating system. So I'd say that number one is really familiar. Two, I think for Windows 11 is, hey, look, we're bringing in new features. We're bringing in things that really help increase end user productivity and help really, you know, improve that end user experience at the PC level. And then lastly, look, I would say number three is Windows 10 is going into support 19, 20 months from now, October of 2025. And so now is the time to act to get Windows 11 in your environment and really understand, you know, which devices are eligible to move and which ones aren't. And so you can really stay ahead of that curve as we look as we approach, you know, that end of support date. Because at the end of the day, look, we have announced that we're going to offer, you know, extended security updates for Windows 10 like we did for Windows 7. But hey, no one at Microsoft wants to take, you know, the customer's money for extended support on Windows 10, you know, especially because it is just a feature update. And we know it is a pretty familiar process. So
let's look at two general audiences. I'm looking at end users. I'm looking at IT professionals managing these devices. Whom do you feel is going to see the biggest change with Windows 11 in terms of that productivity? Is it us end users, faster boot times, just more intuitive moving around, that type of thing, integration of some AI tools, or is it the IT folks that are managing these fleets of devices out there and what they can do and how they can manage these machines remotely and all that?
Yeah, so I'd say both. You know, I think if we're focusing on end user experience and end user productivity, you know, yes, we are bringing a lot of new features across the entire operating system. We know, hey, look, AI is a buzzword right now. Everyone wants to learn about AI, and we're actually bringing AI innovation across the entire Windows 11 platform. You know, we're bringing it to tools that end users are using on a daily basis to really just help them be more productive and help them have a better experience. I'd say my personal favorite tool as the snipping tool, snippet, whatever you want to call it, right? And you know, historically, when I've taken a snip of something that had text in it, and I wanted that text into another format of document, I had to retype it, right? Because it was just a screenshot.
Because it would just put the picture in. I would do that for receipts all the time for travel, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now with, you know, AI built into Windows 11, you can actually use a feature called optical character recognition. You can actually copy and paste the text out of that screenshot now into the document that you wanted to go into. And so when you think about things like that, it's right, just simple things at the operating system level and the tools that our end users are using on a daily basis to really help improve that overall, you know, end user experience. And then we think about new modern hardware where we can leverage things like better battery life, better processing, you know, really come into play when we think about the end user side of moving to Windows 11. When we think about IT, again, it's familiar. And we're also focused really on how we can make the updates in Windows 11 more efficient. You know, those package sizes are smaller, I think on average about 40% smaller than with Windows 10. And so how can we make sure that those things are happening in the background? So when the end user does reset, just like your experience, right? You kind of went away and had a cup of coffee and 20 to 30 minutes later, you come back and voila, your PC is on Windows 11. Yes, it's a new interface. And so, you know, we do hear from IT that we need to be proactive on kind of communicating what's new and what's different and what has changed within the Windows 11 interface. But we do hear from customers, you know, the end users love it. You know, there's all these new features that we're bringing in, and they just love the new modern look and feel, you know, of the Windows 11 platform.
And I can say personal experience. Yeah, I came back and I finally, oh yeah, things are obviously different. In fact, you know, but it took me moments really to get around to the basic things I was still using. And so there's no loss of my day or productivity. Every now and again, I still come, oh, this is new. Oh, let me check this out, right? Because I didn't deep dive right there. I just kept on kind of doing what I was doing. But I think anyone that has been on Windows for a while, you know, it's not that much of a shocking change, right? Let's go back to the hardware aspect, because the last time a lot of folks got a new machine, we were in a pandemic mode. And a lot of that was either old machines that had been hiding away in a closet as the backup to the backup, or people went out in the big box stores, got run on consumer type devices, cheap devices. We're talking Windows 11 Pro here. We want to make sure that people have the latest and greatest hardware, and it can't just be the cheapest thing out there. And that was a mindset 4 years ago. How has that changed and impacted teams when you're saying, look, there are some of these hardware requirements, and they're like, yeah, but we don't want to spend maybe that much. We just have an office worker, so we just want to give them something cheap and easy and, you know, what have you. Talk to me a little bit about that mindset out there, and then let's briefly, I don't want to go into too much detail because we'll give some contact information later for all the specs, but talk about some of the specs that are necessary out there, like bare minimums.
Yeah, and wow, to think it's been 4 years since the pandemic is crazy. You know, I actually started at Microsoft on March 2nd of 2020. So for me, it's like, hey, I know it's always going to be that anniversary date when the pandemic hit, right? And you bring up a really valid point. You know, customers were really put, you know, really in a bad position where they were like, okay, you know, now every device that used to be within the four walls of our organization is now out in the wild. And some of these devices aren't really mobile, right? They're not a laptop. They maybe have a fixed workstation. And so they're trying to go out and purchase whatever they can purchase and get it into their end users' hands to be productive. And so when we think about, you know, moving to Windows 11 and modern hardware and really the continuous innovation that we're bringing to the Windows 11 platform, I really think, you know, gone are the days of, hey, I'm just going to go out and put out a quote or get quote requests for a Intel i5 16 gig 256 SSD device, and whoever has the cheapest price is who I'm going to purchase the device from. And so we've really got to think about, you know, what our users are doing on a daily basis and what tools they're leveraging on a daily basis. And we think about integrating AI into our organization. You know, are we supporting that end user experience with the right device? You know, we talk a lot about security with customers and kind of that end user experience around improving the overall, you know, security posture within the organization. So things like Windows Hello for Business. You know, I've been at Microsoft 4 years now, and I've never had to reset my password because we're in a passwordless environment, leveraging biometrics and PIN stored locally on the TPM of that device. And you think about enabling that experience, right? IT is like, wow, you mean I can get away from password reset help desk requests coming through?
How much time that saves them? I mean, that was hours.
Yeah, but it's hardware dependent. Right, you need to make sure you've got the right device that supports it. That you're purchasing a device that has an IR camera or fingerprint readers. You can enable that experience. And so, you know, there's things like that that really come into play. Better quality microphones. We're seeing more touchscreen devices, right? For users, are they leveraging touchscreen on a daily basis? Is that an important thing that they've become used to, you know, during the pandemic? And so, you know, you really got to make sure that when you're looking at purchasing hardware, that you really focus in on what those end users are leveraging the PC for. And making sure that you're getting the right hardware to support that end user experience, but you're also getting the right hardware that supports some of the goals that IT has around, you know, improving security within the organization as well. And so, you know, it really has changed. It's you know, I think gone are the days of a spreadsheet refresh, next person up, and basic specs to more strategic on how they're focusing on refresh and what, you know, endpoints to buy for their end users.
You had mentioned, since we're talking about the hardware here, you had mentioned, you know, 20 months until final end of support. So we're talking later stages of 2025. Right now, again, pandemic related, the supply chain issues have mostly subsided. We have changed the way that we procure our gear now. I think it's a lot more strategic and further out by months as opposed to just the buy when you need it, you know, pre-pandemic. That being said, we don't know, and I don't know nothing here. I'm not prognosticating anything, but things could change geopolitically in 12 months, in 15 months. And the reason I bring it up is I'm asking, how are people doing their procurement planning for this new hardware now? Are you seeing people try and push it off to later in 2025? Are you seeing teams do it now? Because let's say we get closer to that end of support time and there is a disruption. All of a sudden, it might be really hard to get the hardware that is needed. And then you're stuck if you are having to refresh with lower machines that can't take advantage of the AI, of some of the features you mentioned. And then, yeah, you know, people are going to be pulling their hair out.
Yeah, I think it's a really valid concern. We're thinking about that internally. It's like, okay, as we look at, you know, these next 20 months, supply chain is healthy right now. But what happens, you know, if everyone decides to refresh those ineligible PCs that are out there to move to Windows 11 ahead of end of support for Windows 10 because they don't want to have to pay for extended support? You know, could we see a very similar experience like we saw during COVID, where now inventory becomes a little scarce and it becomes a little more difficult to find PCs. And then maybe some customers are forced into looking at purchasing end of support because they cannot find hardware that, you know, supports Windows 11. And so, you know, we really encourage customers to look now. We really encourage customers to understand their environment, to make sure that they can put together a strategic plan and start to refresh today so they can get ready for this end of support moment. And they can start leveraging a lot of the AI features, that are out there with Copilot and Windows and an AI assistant across the actual whole entire Windows 11 platform. You know, they can leverage those features today, by getting their organization into Windows 11 and start to see some of those benefits that we know are out there around generative AI and some of these AI features that are top of mind for most customers.
Since you're bringing up AI, let's talk a little bit there, because that is on everyone's mind. Are you seeing that a lot of folks are being, especially on an end user, when they get them and find themselves on a Windows 11 device, especially a pro device, are we seeing any numbers out there that say they're taking more advantage of these AI tools just kind of instinctually, because we're seeing it just as customers and consumers of the world now of technology, that we know about the co-pilots that are built into the search engines and all this type of stuff? What are you seeing in terms of that adoption from the end user standpoint?
So we see a lot around like generative AI. So we know that, you know, end users really want to leverage, you know, these AI powered chats, right? To really help them be more creative, help them maybe get out of some of that digital fatigue that they're experiencing because we're on meetings more than we've ever been. But we also know that organizations are concerned about, hey, what happens if an end user visits one of these AI powered chats on the web and they put in company information and proprietary information. Now all of a sudden that information is used to train the model and could potentially be leaked to their competition or to the public. And so when we think about, you know, generative AI and we think about the solution around giving access to employees to leverage this technology, and we're seeing results around like 40% increase in quality of responses when you use generative AI, you know, 10, 15, 20% decrease in completing certain tasks when you're leveraging generative AI, is really when we think about Copilot and Copilot in Windows with commercial data protection, gives customers with on a Windows 11 PC, it helps IT give access to generative AI with commercial data protection directly on the UX on the Windows 11 PC. So we have that UX, that interface with Copilot in Windows. They can go out, they can leverage these AI powered chats, and with commercial data protection, no one at Microsoft can see their data. Their data is not used to train the model. And so they can be comfortable and confident that, hey, anything that their end users are putting into this model, you know, is not going to be leaked out there and it's not going to be shared with anyone. And so giving end users access to that generative AI, we've seen have a significant impact in end user productivity. And then we think about, you know, Copilot Windows 11 and kind of Windows skilling, especially when we talk to IT, you know, we're hearing excitement around, hey, look, I could leverage this Copilot Windows interface to set up a Bluetooth device or to change my background or to find a setting to change, where historically, you know, end users, if they couldn't find that setting, probably opened up a help desk ticket. And so now I actually truly have this assistant, you know, this AI assistant at work on my desktop in Windows 11 that gives me access to generative AI in a secure way, but also helps me across my entire operating system, you know, make it more personal, help me set it up. And if I need to find something, it can help me find something. And so, you know, we're seeing a lot there. And then also, you know, things just across Windows 11, things like AI powered recommendations, where we're integrating AI into File Explorer, where, you know, we're offering up files based on maybe meetings or files that were shared or files time spent in a file. to really help end users get access to information quicker as well. And so when we think about AI, you know, our position is that, hey, an investment in Windows 11 and modern hardware is an investment in AI within an organization and is a great foundational step on that AI journey for every organization out there.
And truly, I feel, and again, I'm no one special feeling this, but we're at the tip of the spear of AI, right? We are just starting to see really what this can do. And I'm sure everyone out there anticipates there are going to be a lot of changes just between now and the next 20 months, let alone, now and the next end of this year, there are going to be a lot of changes there. So I hear that investment story. Is that investment story helping certain folks within IT maybe go up the chain to the C-suite and make sure they're getting enough budget for this refresh cycle, maybe even if they're having to ask for a little more than they did last time, but saying, hey, but it's this investment in AI in our future, not just replacing something today.
That's a great comment. You know, it's funny when we talk about this with customers, sometimes the reaction we get is, wow, I didn't realize there was so much AI innovation in Windows 11. We know that, you know, leadership within organizations are pressing IT and have committees around, hey, how are we going to leverage AI? We know that we need to leverage it. We know that end users want it. We know about 87% of organizations think AI can give them some type of competitive advantage, whether that's from a recruitment standpoint or, you know, from a competitive standpoint against some of their competition in the market. And so when we lay this out as, hey, look, AI, you know, Windows 11 is really that initial step in that AI journey. We do see that landing really well and helping IT go to leadership and say, look, you want a first step, and here's the great first step, right? We can start leveraging this technology today. Some of our devices that aren't in Windows 11 that are eligible can move now, and then we just need to refresh the ones that aren't so we can get our entire environment on Windows 11. And as we think about that AI journey, as you mentioned, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you know, we're going to see a lot of innovation across AI at the PC level. And so, get ready, get your users used to interacting with it today and get on Windows 11 today, I think is really the best, the best thing any organization can do to just prepare, you know, for this journey that we're on over the next 3 to 4 years.
You brought up the word steps, you just said journey there. So I do want to kind of lay out a potential journey. We understand, and really for folks listening, if you are already part of the Connection family and you've got your account executives and account managers out there, talk to them. They're a great resource that can really help you kind of with your personal timeline. And that, I think, is the best thing to do, because at every organization is going to be different. But let's go ahead and talk in generics here. We've got 20 months. Let me just lay out a scenario to you. Let's say that we've got an organization that has anywhere from 300 to 800 machines that are in their environment. So they need to evaluate. Let's say a handful just were purchased because something happened to them. So they've got new devices anyway. But let's say 90% of them really need to be evaluated and looked at. Let's break down the next 20 months. What do we do in the next 1 to 3 months to start on this journey if we haven't begun yet? And then we'll break it down kind of sequentially what the other kind of segments look like.
Now in the next 3 months, I think the first step is, hey, look, get with your Connection team. You know, they can help you understand which devices in your environment are eligible to move and which ones aren't. I think that's the key first step in this process. And we actually talk to customers and hear from customers still that don't realize 25, 30, 40% of their environment isn't eligible to move. It's a pretty eye-opening experience for them when they actually start looking at, you know, the reasons why those PCs can't move. And so I think that's really step number one is identifying those devices. And then step two is create that refresh plan, ahead of end of support for Windows 10 and look at, hey, what is budgeted currently for refresh? And based on my ineligible fleet, am I going to be able to get all those devices refreshed by the time end of support hits? Maybe I will be. Maybe I am in a good spot. And if I just continue with refresh and make sure I'm strategic and I pull out those ineligible devices first and put new hardware in, that I'll be in a good spot. Or maybe when I look at that data, I say, hey, look, I'm actually negative here. You know, I actually need to accelerate refresh and really prioritize refresh of these ineligible PCs, because I'm not going to get there just based on my, you know, standard refresh cycle and what we currently have planned. And I think that's really kind of that next step. In the next 1 to 3 months, we'd love for every customer to identify which devices are eligible, you know, which ones are, which ones aren't, and then develop, you know, work with Connection to develop that plan to make sure they can mitigate as much risk as possible.
And that would bring us kind of to summer, fall, 2024. That means, are we starting to look at then really making sure that we've got the orders in at the right times to get those devices end of 24, beginning of 25? That way, if anything slides a little bit, you've still got that buffer before the end of 25, and don't do that panic buy, that rush buy at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the fear that, you know, we talked a little bit about earlier. What happens if we see the panic buy, you know, mid 2025, when customers realize they've got 3, 4, 5 months left, and they decide to take a look at their environment and their estate, and they're like, "Oh, I've got all these ineligible PCs. I need to buy as much as I possibly can." And then we're in a rock and a hard place again, trying to find inventory to refresh those PCs. And so, you know, really being proactive, getting that plan in place, and trying to get that environment refreshed, you know, ahead of early 2025, I think will put a customer in the best state possible as they look, you know, Windows 10 into support, and then leveraging all these great, you know, features that we talked about.
Are you seeing, this is a little more of a technical type question on the IT side of things, but are you seeing organizations try and get all of the hardware set first and then do, whether it's that upgrade or they're bringing in the new gear, or do you see some groups that are running kind of the mixed environment? They're saying, look, we've got eligible devices now. Let's get them to 11. We've heard the, you know, Fortune 500 has really moved heavy on Windows 11 so far. We have not seen any of those major New York Times or Ziff Davis headlines of, you know, issues out there. So we know that they're blazing forward. It gives us confidence in the smaller business world to say, okay, we can as well without disruption. But are you seeing people run, you know, 10 and 11 concurrently for a period of time until they get to that next upgrade cycle and purchase cycle? What's that experience look like?
Yeah, we do see them running concurrently. You know, as we talked about earlier, again, it's just a feature update. So we know that customers have multiple versions of Windows 10 in their environment today. And, you know, with Windows 11, you can use the tools you're using today to manage Windows 10 to manage Windows 11. And so, you know, after you've determined all of this that we just talked about, and you look at the feature update, you do your testing, you know, make sure that you start, you know, customers are starting to migrate those eligible pieces of hardware while actively refreshing, you know, those ineligible pieces of hardware. We've actually seen that in some instances, customers actually might be refreshing an eligible piece of hardware because they don't really understand what's ineligible. And so, you know, really understanding that and working in conjunction with those two, migrating your current environment and then getting, you know, those new PCs deployed on Windows 11 is something we do see a lot of customers doing.
That great little tidbit there is a great learn from a potential mistake that someone else has made. Is there anything else like that? Hey, don't do this, right? Set yourself up for success. So don't do this. And if you don't do this one or two things, you're probably going to be in good shape.
Yeah, I would say don't wait. I think that's the biggest thing, right? Don't wait. You know, because I think that just, you know, presents more risk as we get, you know, closer to end of support. So one, I would say don't wait. If you haven't created a plan, create a plan. Start testing if you haven't tested. You know, we still know that customers, the number one concern they have on migration from Windows 10 to 11 is application compatibility, which I think is a lot rooted in, you know, previous migrations of Windows OS, you know, numbering cadences, specifically 7 to 10, as we talked about earlier. But again, we have a 99.7% app compatibility rate between Windows 10 and 11. And a lot of that is rooted in what we talked about around this is a feature update. It's just the next version of Windows 10. It's the same kernel. And so we do see, you know, 99.7% app compatibility rate, but we also have an app compatibility promise at Microsoft where we say that, hey, look, if you have an application running on Windows 10 today, we guarantee that it'll run on Windows 11. And if it doesn't, we have great partners like Connection. We also have engineers at Microsoft that will get involved free of charge for every customer to help them remediate why an application isn't working. And so, you know, if application compatibility is one of those reasons that's hanging out there of why, you know, our customers listening in here might be a little hesitant, you know, start testing, start piloting, and let us know, you know, let Connection know, let Microsoft know if you run into any issues on those applications. And we're seeing a lot of those applications where we do see issues are probably ones that have historically had problems anytime an operating system has been updated. And so, yeah, those are kind of the big things I would say is don't wait, start testing. Don't let app compatibility be a reason not to start moving forward, and let us help you on that journey as you look to migrate.
And with that, as Rob said, right, the Connection Team, great resource for you on all sorts of things, Windows 11, especially those pro devices, to understand kind of where your users are, what might be the best devices for them. You can learn more. I think a lot of the benefits of moving to Windows 11 is out there in the marketplace, so I'm glad we covered a little bit of that as well. And then that timeline, right, 20 months until end of support there. There does seem to be a good amount of time, but that doesn't mean to wait until the last minute, because we know things can change, and that can throw a lot of monkey wrenches into anybody's plans. So, you know, getting ahead of it, moving forward, and now sounds to be a really good time to do so. Your account executives and managers at Connection, great resource for you. If you don't happen to have a team in place, got a phone number for you. It is 800-800-0014 to reach out and talk to folks. And then connection.com/Windows 11, of course, a website is set up with all sorts of user info and more for you all on the Windows 11 front. So with that, Rob, really do appreciate you joining this podcast here. Folks, if you want to like, share, and subscribe to our Tech Experience podcast, I suggest you do so. With that, we'll wrap things up for this conversation, and we do look forward to talking to y'all down the road.